He gave her a cigarette, and for a time they talked of the head of S, and of the reactions in London to the rout of Le Chiffre. From what she said, it was clear that the final object of the plan had been more than fulfilled. The story was still being splashed all over the world, and correspondents of most of the English and American papers had been at Royal trying to trace the Jamaican millionaire who had defeated Le Chiffre at the tables. They had got on to Vespa, but she had covered up well. Her story was that Bond had told her he was going on to Cannes and Monte Carlo to gamble with his winnings. The hunt had moved down to the south of France. Mathis and the police had obliterated all other traces, and the papers were forced to concentrate on the Strasbourg angles and the chaos in the ranks of the French communists. "By the way, Vespa," said Bond after a time, "what really happened to you after you left me in the nightclub? All I saw was the actual kidnapping." He told her briefly of the scene outside the casino.
"I'm afraid I must have lost my head," said Vespa, avoiding Bond's eyes. "When I couldn't see Mathis anywhere in the entrance hall, I went outside, and the commissioner asked me if I was Miss Lind, and then told me the man who had sent in the note was waiting in a car down on the right of the steps. Somehow I wasn't particularly surprised. I'd only known Mathis for a day or two, and I didn't know how he worked, so I just walked down towards the car. I was away on the right and more or less in the shadows. Just as I was coming up to it, Le Chiffre's two men jumped out from behind one of the other cars in the row and simply scooped my skirt over my head." Vespa blushed. "It sounds a childish trick." She looked penitently at Bond. "But it's really frightfully effective. One's a complete prisoner, and although I screamed, I don't expect any sound came out from under my skirt. I kicked out as hard as I could, but that was no use, as I couldn't see, and my arms were absolutely helpless. I was just a trussed chicken. They picked me up between them and shoved me into the back of the car. I went on struggling, of course, and when the car started, and while they were trying to tie a rope or something round the top of my skirt over my head, I managed to get an arm free and throw my bag through the window. I hope it was some use." Bond nodded. "It was rather instinctive. I just thought you'd have no idea what had happened to me, and I was terrified. I did the first thing I could think of."
Bond knew that it was him they had been after, and that if Vespa hadn't thrown her bag out, they would probably have thrown it out themselves directly they saw him appear on the steps. "It certainly helped," said Bond. "But why didn't you make any sign when they finally got me after the car smash, when I spoke to you? I was dreadfully worried. I thought they might have knocked you out or something."
"I'm afraid I must have been unconscious," said Vespa. "I fainted once from lack of air, and when I came to, they had cut a hole in front of my face. I must have fainted again. I don't remember much until we got to the villa. I really only gathered you had been captured when I heard you try and come after me in the passage."